I just really wanted to share with y'all. Next. And I was asking the Lord a little bit of like, okay, God, what do you want me to share with everybody today? And the Lord brought up this word shaken. You know, when you have felt shaken, because I'm pretty sure everyone at some point in time has felt shaken in their life. Now, earlier this year, back in April 3rd, to be exact, I'm going to share a little story. I like stories. So on April 3rd, I woke up around 7, I don't know, it was probably 7:30, and I thought it was going to be a normal morning. I woke up, made myself my tea, and I was sitting in the living room. My kitty was sitting next to me, and all of a sudden, oh, I was reading my Bible too, by the way. I was like sitting there reading my Bible when all of a sudden my kitty, she jumps up and she looks at me and she dashes under the couch. And I was like, oh, okay. And then immediately after that, the entire apartment started shaking in a way that I have never felt the apartment shake before. It just kept shaking and shaking. My roommate runs out of the room. You know, we kind of run to the bathroom because apparently that's supposed to be the safest place, right? If there's an earthquake, like we grab onto the walls because we couldn't stand up. It was shaking so bad. And I literally was just waiting, being like, okay, is the apartment going to like collapse at any point in time because it's made of concrete? Is it just going to start crumbling down? So we're just like holding onto the wall and it's just like shaking and shaking and shaking. And in that moment, there was literally nothing I could do. Absolutely nothing. You just had to kind of sit there and helplessly wait and hope that, okay, well, God is in control. Okay, so then about 45 seconds later, it stopped. Felt like forever, but it did stop. And my legs were still kind of trembling a little bit because I would definitely be lying to say that, oh, it wasn't scary. Oh, it was scary. It was scary because you could do nothing and everything is shaking. So I go back to my spot. And I was like, okay, well, I guess we'll continue life as normal, I guess, sort of, right? And then like 10 minutes later, it happened again. And the entire building starts shaking and shaking. And I was just like, oh my goodness, you gotta be kidding me. Here it goes again. And so like I ran to the bathroom again. And this one was like a tad smaller. It was just a little bit smaller. The actual earthquake was about a 7.2. It was big. It was big, 7.2. In Taipei, it was about a 5.9. It was a 6 maybe. But that's being up on the 8th floor. That's still a pretty big earthquake. So the second one, I think, was maybe 5.9 or something like that. So it wasn't much smaller, but it was a little bit smaller. And again, I was just like, oh my goodness, here it goes all over again. And I'm just waiting for things to go, you know, crash to the ground. I'm waiting for an oven to just fall. But, you know, nothing happens. You're just standing there, you know, shaking, shaking, shaking. Okay, well then, you know, finally that one ended. And guess what? That happened for the next couple days. The next day, there was another big earthquake. Throughout that month, from what I remember, there was several thousand aftershocks. They just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. I mean, it was pretty traumatic. I mean, there were definitely moments where I woke up in the middle of the night and I was like, oh my goodness, another earthquake. Oh, was that an earthquake? Oh yeah, there's another earthquake. So you're just always expecting earthquakes and you always feel like you're constantly shaking, 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 and shaking. So that was an actual physical shaking, right? And, you know, God did show me something through that experience, though. Because in that moment when you could do absolutely nothing, all you could do was just wait and helplessly depend on God. And I do believe that God wants us to reach a place in our lives where we are just helplessly depending on Him. We can't do anything on our own because that's why God is here. If we could do everything on our own, we wouldn't need God. We wouldn't need each other. But in that moment, it was very obvious that I could do nothing. And God was just reminding me that, hey, you know, this is scary, but I'm here for you. And I've got you. And I'm bigger than that shaking. And I know that we've all had shaking moments before. We've all been in those experiences where we don't understand what's going on. But you know, God takes those shaking moments and He turns it into something good and beautiful. And so like a couple years ago, back, you know, 4 years ago, you know, my brother passed away. And that was a shaking moment. And in the moment when you're in that shaking moment, you think, what good can come out of this? No good can come out of this. But let me tell you, This year, I've had so many opportunities to share about Jesus because of that shaking moment that happened 4 years ago. So maybe in the moment you're thinking, nothing's good, nothing good can come from this. And maybe you have to wait 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years. But God always takes that shaking moment and he turns it into something good. And so back in May, I came back to the States for a short visit. I was doing a teacher's workshop. I told the teachers that I had to come back to the States for an event to honor my brother who had passed away 3 years earlier. So this is back in May, right? And one of the teachers comes up to me and she was like, oh, your brother passed away. She's sobbing. She's crying. She's weep. She's like, your brother passed away. I can't believe your brother passed away. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's been 3 years. I've had an opportunity to kind of work through some stuff. And she's like, oh my goodness, it's been 3 years. Had that been me and I lost my brother 3 years ago, I wouldn't be able to keep on living. Then she stopped and she looked at me and she's like, I know, it's your God. It's your God that's gotten you through this difficult time. And I was just like, absolutely. So that's just one example of how God's taken a shaking moment. And years later, he's turned it into something amazing. And even just 2 weeks ago, before I came to the States, I was working with one of my students. And every time we have class, I let them choose a question from a stack of cards that I have. And the question he asked me was, what's been the most difficult day of your life so far? Oh, I was just like, yeah, just had to choose that question. And I told him, I said, hey, it was when my brother passed away. But I will see my brother. I told him, I said, I will see my brother someday. I know where he is. He's in a safe place. And I know I will see him again. My student stopped and he's like, you know, I've always wanted to know what happened after people die. And I was like, hey, let's talk about it. Do you mind if I share with you? Can I talk to you about what I believe will happen after someone dies? And he's like, yes, I would love that. Can we talk about this? I've never been able to talk about this with anybody before. I mean, if that's not a testimony, I don't know what is. Because that is just another example of how God takes something. In the moment it hurts, in the moment it's like shaking time, in the moment you feel like, oh, nothing good can come out of this. When God says, no, 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 what Satan meant for evil, I'm going to turn into something good, and I want to make it beautiful in my time. And I just want to just take a couple moments and talk a little bit about Joseph. I love the story of Joseph, and I'm sure most of us know the story of Joseph. You know, the story of Joseph. Joseph, you know, he was one of 12. He was the most loved brother, you know, most loved son, I should say, really, not brother, most loved son. And we all know that what happened to Joseph? He was sold to Egypt. You know, Joseph had a decision to make. He could have chosen he had the right to be like, I was victimized. I am a victim. There's no good can actually come out of this situation. Right? You know, he's sold into Egypt. And then, of course, there's a whole situation with Potiphar's wife. And once again, he was accused of doing something that he didn't do. So he ended up in jail again. Again, he had a choice to make. He could have been like, I'm a victim. Poor me. And fall into that whole self-pity, right? But he didn't do that. He said, no, I know who I am, and I'm going to make the most of the situation that I'm in. So much so that later on, we know the end of the story. That God saw him. God didn't forget. God raised him up to the point where he was in second. He ended up being second in command. And he ends up meeting his brothers in the end. And he had a choice to make. He could have looked at his brothers and been like, ooh, I want nothing to do with you. I don't want anything. You guys caused so much heartache. You victimized me. You made me feel like I was a nobody. But that's not what Joseph did he? No, he looked at his brothers. This is in Genesis 50:20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And so I just want to tie that all together and say that we all have shaking moments. We all have moments in our lives where we don't understand what's going on. We can't see the big picture. If God would have told me 12 years ago that I was going to move to Taiwan for 10 years, I would have said, Absolutely not. Heck no. I'm not going to go there for 10 years. But sometimes God only God only gives us what we can handle in that moment so that he can accomplish through us what he intends to accomplish through us. And so I want to go to the next slide. And so, yes, the Lord gave me this verse. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I really just want to encourage you all with that, that God is with you. He's doing something in each and every one of your lives. And he wants each of you to be a fountain, that you are just overflowing with the joy of the Lord. You're overflowing in all that you do. And I want to leave you with these questions. If we can go to the next slide. So what kind of person do you want to be? And this is something I ask myself on a regular basis. What kind of person do you want to be? Do you want to be a person who gets tired running with men? In other words, get tired of doing what you're doing, that you just grow weary and you're like, I can't do this anymore. Or do you want to be a person who runs with horses? Do you want to be the person who, when you face challenges, when you feel shaken, you get up and you keep going because you say, I'm not a victim. Yes, I've been victimized. Yes, I've faced difficulties, but I'm running with horses and I'm going to keep going just like Joseph did. You don't have to answer, but something that I would like you all to just think about. And so I just want to thank you all so much for your time. And if it's okay, if I could just pray. I'm just going to pray. Okay, I would love that. So I just want to pray right now. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for today. I thank you, Father, for each and every person. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in each of their lives. And I know that we all have shaking moments in our lives. We all have moments where we don't know how to keep going. We don't know what decisions to make. We don't know how to, you know, figure our way out through life at times. But you know, God, and you're much bigger than any earthquake. You're much bigger than any typhoon or hurricane. You're much bigger, Father, than anything that we face. And I do pray that for each person here, that you would just be with them, that you would empower them in spirit and power and might, Father. We just thank you, Jesus, and we love you so much. And in your name we pray. Amen.